This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Good inbounds, out of bounds. Some good questions there. And, of course, Tiki and I is always coming to you from our studio here on this beautiful day around the country. Some good things to hit. And our studio is the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time. Rocket can. So we'll try to cut the nut on the Texans and their continued disengagement from what appears to be a multitude of teams that are calling them to try to get some clarity on what it's going to take to pry Deshaun Watson away from them. You know, the story last week was, and this is bizarro world. I mean, this is negligent. This simply cannot happen. Where there were three or four teams, not teams that were identified on the record, but teams, so it wasn't like specific, but teams had called and left their based trade parameters on voicemail.
Yeah.
That is just insanity here. I know what they're trying to do. If they can put out this public messaging like, no matter what you do, no matter what you offer, no matter how many times you call, we are married to Deshaun Watson. They're praying that that will permeate Deshaun Watson's mind and flip his attitude about wanting to leave Houston. Memo to the Texans. That ain't a good plan.
No, and
it's not going to work.
It's not happening because he still wants to leave, and he's going to get to the point where eventually he's going to say, "I'm not showing up." Now we've started to hear some speculation about him saying, "I'm not going to show up." He hasn't actually said that. He has, though, said, "Trade me," and he said it clearly to the Houston Texans. The next step is him saying, "Keep me here, and you will not see me at training camp or playing games in the 2021 season," and that's when it gets really untenable.
All right, so we're going to get to that coming up next. John McClain, great writer, Houston Chronicle. Third hour, Packers, their GM says, Jordan Love's going to need as many reps as possible. Okay, you going to trade him?
I know. What does that mean?
He's not getting any reps for the Packers.
He's got to take every rep in the preseason? I mean, maybe, but I don't know what that means either.
A lot of football this hour. Let's get to this. Now, and we're not inspired to talk about this because we think that J.J. Watt tilts the needle that significantly. So I don't want people to think that we're framing this as prisoners of the moment, that we believe that J.J. Watt is still a superstar. I don't want to speak for you, but I believe we're on the same page with this.
Yeah.
Like he could be, in certain pass rush situations, certainly an asset.
No doubt.
But okay, so we're on the same page with that. What we do want to discuss, though, in totality, you look at the NFC West here, and if you think about the components that make a division very strong, you know, obviously, talent, that goes without saying, but also stability, not the head coaching spot,
yep,
the head coach, GM dynamic, that duo, their stability there. And you look at this division now, right, and you've got whether it's McVay, who's been to a Super Bowl, you know, whether it's Pete Carroll, who's won one, been to another, should have won two if he ran the ball rather than passing from the one. You look at Shanahan, who's been to a Super Bowl and was 2 yards away from Jimmy Garoppolo connecting, where he would have been a Super Bowl champ rather than a participant.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth head coach in the division, while he's still got a ton to prove, I mean, Kingsbury's got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
At least he is one of the innovative offensive minds, or was in college, that has now clearly permeated the NFL, and we'll see what his ceiling is. Can you make the case? I think you can easily make the case that this division is the best in football.
Yeah.
Can you make the case that it's one of the best divisions on paper, now incorporating the quarterbacks, et cetera, ever?
Yeah, well, I mean,
ever.
That's just, it's, I'd have to go historically look. But there's none that jump out. Like, there's no divisions that I think of. And by the way, this has shifted over the years, because when I first came into the league in the early, late 90s until about 2002, when the expansion happened, you know, the conferences were jacked up. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals were in the NFC East. And so it was kind of fluky because there was 30 teams as opposed to 32, where it's perfectly equal now. But when I look at the NFC West right now, BT, from head coaches who you mentioned, all of them, to the quarterbacks on all of these teams, most of them now, especially now with Stafford with the Rams, are elite, or at least have been elite at points in their careers. Jimmy Garoppolo is the one that you have a little bit of a question mark about, but he took his team to a Super Bowl, so it's not like you can knock him in any regard. And so from head coach to quarterbacks to a lot of the skill position players on these teams, some of them aren't like elite superstars, but they're all impact players.
Yeah.
And then you account for the defenses. San Francisco's had a great one over the last couple of years. The Rams have been the best one over the last couple of years. Seattle, historically, whether it's scheme or personnel, have been that way. And Arizona is getting a little bit better, as you mentioned, with J.J. Watt coming on board. It feels like this will be the most competitive division that we've seen in a really long time. The best ever, I don't know, but most competitive that we've seen in a long time, most certainly. Because any team can win any given weekend.
And that's what you're looking for. Now, to be fair, because this is a national show, so we probably got people screaming at the radio and the TV set right now saying, what about the AFC North? You know, we got Lamar, who just won the MVP 2 years ago. You know, we've got the ascending Browns with one of the best defensive ends in football and one of the best running backs, and, you know, a coach who finally got Baker to do what we need Baker to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clearly arguments to be made. You go back in the day when you had these great Tom Landry teams with Dallas, Joe Gibbs with then the Washington Redskins. I mean, the Giants of the mid 80s with Parcells. I mean, come on. There's a lot of ways to go about this, but when you look at the NFC West now, they've got the best defensive player in football, Aaron Donald. I think they've got the best corner. I know that what Xavier Howard did this year at 11 picks, and there's other good. I think Jalen Ramsey's the best right now. I think Gilmore took a little bit of a step back. I would say Ramsey's that guy. And then, you know, you look at, I mean, find me a, in 2 years, find me a, or maybe even this year, find me a more dominant receiver than Metcalf.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that guy's out there. I'm not so sure. Maybe, you know, Claypool might actually have a claim to that based on his physical prowess as well and the early 4-touchdown game for the Steelers a year ago. But you look at Bosa, who had his legs shredded early on against the Jets. If he comes back to being Bosa, you've got one of the top two or three defensive end pass rushers in the game in that division, not to mention all the other components. I mean, it's the NFC West is a beast.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is there. I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard to say best ever, but it is certainly something to look at and expect, really. Is I think more of the equation here is can we expect this team, this division, to be one of the best ever? I know it's going to be competitive. You just can't look at these teams and expect anything other than growth from where they were. Mm-hmm. Like the only coach that you look at and you say, oh, man, maybe he's getting a little bit to the end is Carroll. And, you know, we've heard this in the past, like I think Richard Sherman said this and a couple of others, maybe even Cliff Avril when we had him on the show, that he gets repetitive. He starts saying the same things over again. So there's not like, it's not like innovation. Whereas if you're listening to Sean McVay, just excited to draw up a new scheme every week, right?
And, yes.
And same thing with Shanahan and obviously also with Cliff Kingsbury. Like those guys are just, they're young and they're growing and they're still learning. Like, there's ascension coming from, you know, three quarters of the coaching staff in the NFC West. Pete Carroll's the one exception, but the MO on him is always, dude, he treats these guys like they're in college and they love him.
Yeah.
Right. He's just easy going. He's a player's coach. He'll give you leeway and let you, you know, express yourself and be the way that you want. I remember back in those days when they were consistently in the Super Bowls, or at least pushing for the Super Bowls, and they won that one. I mean, they would call each other out. right? They were like getting fights with each other
all the time
because it was he looked at it as healthy. Like mm-hmm. you're going to learn most from being called to the floor by the guys that you are in the same locker room with you, or on the same field with you, and that's I would have loved that, right? Because you know where you stand with everybody, as opposed to hiding behind the politics that often infiltrate locker rooms.
Yeah,
So while Pete is the old head, he's almost 70 now. He's mm-hmm. also one of the one of the guys that keeps it young for some of these vets that are on these teams.
He's got great exuberance. He projects. I mean, you are what you are. You are with the birth certificate says.
No
but
doubt.
He definitely projects great energy. You see him on the chewing the gum, running up and down the sideline. I mean, he is an energetic dude, no doubt. I think if people are strongly objecting to how we position the upside of this division, they're probably basing it on, I'd say, one of three things that they're not sure about. And we should incorporate these two to make sure we get every aspect mm-hmm. of the conversation. Number one, is Russell Wilson traded?
Yeah.
If Russell Wilson's traded, that changes the entire tone of the conversation.
I agree.
Number two, and this is where I'm going to defend the Cardinals.
What if, unless he gets back like Dak Prescott, that's a different. That's a
there,
different.
To me,
there
would still be a drop off.
I agree, but it's still a different story.
Yes, true. As long as it's not like for four first rounders and they're starting over. I mean, if it's Dak, you can. You know, if you want to be really creative, you can still make a pay. But everybody knows that Russell Wilson is better than Dak. So mm-hmm. there will be, if not an appreciable drop off from there. And for me, there is an appreciable drop off myself.
I would agree with that.
Okay, from Russ to Dak. But I can see why people would say that Russ is great and Dak is really good. There's enough of a narrow gap there where it's still in play. The other thing to me would be how you view the Cardinals' second half collapse a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny. I was texting with somebody about this the other day. And there was the first half Cardinals, and then there was the second half Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the first half Cardinals were defined by a healthy Kyler Murray. The second half Cardinals were bogged down by an unhealthy Kyler Murray. As soon as they beat the Bills, that's when he got hurt. Hurt his shoulder, all right? Let me see if I can remember the stats. So I know they were 6-3 at that point, and then they obviously morphed into an 8-8 team. So mm-hmm. I guess they went 2-5 down the stretch, if that math is right. I think it is.
Yeah.
Right. And so they were 2-5 after a 6-3 start. But the numbers specific to Murray, the four games before the shoulder injury, he ran 46 times. All right. Obviously a little more than 11 a game. The seven games after the injury, he ran 47 times. So there is an appreciable drop-off in him moving out of the pocket to protect his shoulder.
Yeah.
And as a result, the off-script, off-platform plays which define him, which makes him borderline great and certainly very entertaining, and was in the MVP conversation for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, on the periphery, but in it. If you think that the Cardinals next year are the Cardinals first half, which I do, then you would probably be more emboldened to say this division's great.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's a learning experience for Kyler Murray. You win Rookie of the Year, which he did in his rookie season 2 seasons ago. Last year, he comes into it, and he's just balling. And he gets in a shootout with Russell Wilson, remember that? And he beats him. And it's Kyler Murray, despite his diminutive size, is going to like defy everything and lead this Cardinals team to the postseason. And who knows what happens once you get in the postseason, especially when you have a dynamic quarterback who's a good thrower of the football. It's not like he was Lamar, where Lamar was just explosive as a runner. But if you took away that part of his game, it turned into a shell offensively for them. He still has the ability to do that. The question with Kyler Murray that I will always worry about is how long can he be that scrambling, moving out of the pocket, picking up 20 yards here or 30 yards there, quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And when you do get injured, like he did last year, can you simply do it with just your arm? And the answer in the short term from, you know, immediate experience is no.
But could he not? But I hear you, and I don't even disagree, but just for the sake of conversation, was he unable to do it from the pocket because the shoulder was jacked up?
I don't
or
know.
Or because
that's
he's just not
know.
That efficient from that, the pocket.
That's what I don't know. And that's what we need to find out from this team in order before you start saying this Arizona Cardinals team can be, you know, hugely viable. If they are healthy, right, then the Arizona Cardinals are going to be fun with one of the best receivers in football with DeAndre Hopkins, one of the great young quarterbacks in Kyler Murray. But if they're banged up, I worry about this Cardinals team because where's the offense come from? That's what we saw those last seven games.
Fair enough.
If he's banged up, where does the offense come from?
Fair enough, but it's certainly something to think about. A lot of great coaches, and then if Stafford turns it back for the Rams, Stafford, vintage Stafford. Remember, there were a couple of years where, was he 08? I think he was the first overall pick in 08. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So he's been obviously around for the better part, more than a decade. Of those 11 or 12 years, he's probably 09. Had.
09, actually.
Oh, 09, pardon me. 09, okay. He's probably had, I know one season for sure when they made the playoffs where he was like, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Led the league in a few categories. And if he's that guy, and he very well might be, then, it jumps even more. If he's Stafford with the untimely mistake, which we've seen a lot, but a lot of that was trying to force the issue. We've seen him make some wildly erratic fourth quarter decisions.
Yeah.
But was it because he was pressing, trying to take an average team and propel them? I don't know, but we'll find out.
I would tend to say that.
Me too. It
was desperation and not having, you'll say you have faith, but not having actual faith in your defense to hold up their end of the bargain.
I'm with you. That's where my instincts are taking me too. I think Stafford's a lot more that guy than not, but we'll see. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be a hell of a division if everybody's healthy and ready to roll. All right, coming up next here, the Texans. The AFC South will look a little different, although they probably still lose a lot like they did this year. But even with the great Deshaun Watson, they had a rough season, 4-12. What is the plan for the Texans? John McClain, he is the sage voice out there, great writer for the Chronicle. Some heavy words over the weekend, imploring the Texans to get their act together. We'll talk to John coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, remember back in the day, I'm sure your mom did this at least once or twice when you guys were growing up, when you wanted to sell the car, you just put a sign on it, said, call the number, right?
Yep.
Okay.
By the side of the road.
Yeah. Or you'd see one and you'd say, well, check the mileage, jot down the number. It looks like, let me give a call, right? And you call and you're interested in this car and nobody ever calls you back. Pretty good chance that car never gets sold. And if it does get sold, it's probably going to get sold at a value less than it should get sold because the person who's selling it took forever to actually respond to people who were trying to buy the car. I know players are different, and the Deshaun Watson's not about to be devalued anytime soon because he's one of the stars of the NFL, but the way, and I've been saying this for months, the way the Texans have comported themselves, it's an absolute travesty, it's a joke, it's unprofessional. If I'm a Texans fan, I'm beyond disgusted, I'm worried because it's so negligent. But we're joined now by John McClain, who is a national NFL writer for the Chronicle out there in Houston. He handles everything, actually, and he's piped in. And he wrote a great piece over the weekend. And John is with us now on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. John, first of all, welcome back to the show. It's been a while. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I mean, you are a well-sourced guy and a well-connected guy. And you're not one to just throw stuff out there for effect. I mean, you certainly think before you hit enter. I think you're very rational, very pragmatic. So when you are basically telling the Texans, in my words, not yours, that they're clueless for not answering the phone or unprofessional, I mean, John, this is business 101. Deshaun Watson will never play a snap for them again. He's gone. When are they going to realize they've got to initiate and engage in trade talks here, John?
Well, I think by the longer they go to telling people thanks but no thanks, the more teams that call and the better offers they get. That's been the case so far. But Nick Caserio has said thanks but no thanks. We're not trading him. But we know they've got a trade consensus. See, they're not stupid. The key to everything, and originally I thought there was no way they would trade Deshaun Watson because I didn't understand the depth of his disenchantment with the organization and how bad he wanted out, and he didn't want to spend his prime years in a rebuilding project for people he didn't have confidence in. And that was before they hired Nick Caserio as a general manager and David Culley as the head coach. But so I've been writing that he needs to meet with them and explain exactly why he wants to be gone, and listen to them explain exactly the plan to try to turn around a franchise that had won four division titles in 5 years, beat Buffalo in a wild card game, and choked a 24-point lead at Kansas City in the divisional round in 2019, and went straight down the toilet in 2020. So they did that last week when he had his first communication with David Culley or Nick Caserio, and he met with David Culley, the new coach, on a Zoom call, and he explained his side, and Culley explained their side. And after it was over, he said he wanted to be traded, and he's not going to change, and he's not going to play again. The worst-case scenario is that they dig in, and they let him sit out, and he doesn't report to the end of next season, so his contract doesn't toll to 2022. And then a best-case scenario, and there's really not a best-case scenario because they don't want to trade him. Nobody here wants him to be traded because he's 25. They negotiated the contract through 2025. He's coming off his best season in every statistic. He's a pillar of the community. The media loves covering him. The fans love him. Everybody loves Deshaun Watson. And say if they trade him, I think it's when. It'll be unprecedented in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
And that you trade a quarterback that age. Houston went from 1993, when the Oilers traded Warren Moon, to Minnesota because they didn't understand the new thing called the salary cap. Houston has been waiting since then for a great quarterback, and they finally have one. So fans and everybody doesn't want him gone. But why would you want a guy to lose millions and millions of dollars and then come back miserable? It just doesn't suit either side. And they would never get in the future what he's worth right now. You got the Jets and the Dolphins, 2-3, both competing in the AFC East. Dolphins, if they had Watson, I think a lot of people would pick them to dethrone the Bills in AFC East, maybe contend for a Super Bowl in Brian Flores' third season. If the Jets had him, it would help the Jets rebuild quicker, take a lot of thunder away from the Giants. You guys know that.
Yep.
Well, he would automatically be the second-best quarterback in franchise history. And we know he likes Robert Saleh because Robert Saleh was one of the coaches he asked the owner, Cal McNair, to interview, and they did not because Nick Caserio interviewed the coaches that he had on his list when he came from New England. And he'd be in the media capital of the world. And he would, I think they would sell him on this. We want to win the second Super Bowl in franchise history, and we believe you're the centerpiece of this, so come help us do it. So my contention all along, it's got to be the Jets or the Dolphins. You can't trade him to Carolina or Denver or San Francisco for the 8th, 9th, or 12th overall pick because you're not getting a quarterback you can sell to the public. Now, the whole key, guys, to me on all this Deshaun Watson trade talk, when Nick Caserio was at New England, they needed a quarterback last year. So you know they studied quarterbacks more in-depth than they ever had, and you know he has an opinion on Tua Tagovailoa. If you thought Tua could be a franchise quarterback, to me, you deal with Miami. If he didn't think Tua could be a franchise quarterback, then you have to make the deal with the Jets. So I don't see any other team they can deal with.
Yeah, no, this it seems like it's getting way out of hand, John. And, you know, the fact that I think I realized that, but I didn't, until you reset it, that he met with David Culley, and that's when he kind of, not publicly, but made it be known, still trade me. I'm not playing here any longer. Is there any way, any scenario where you see Deshaun Watson coming back and playing for the Houston Texans? I know we're all expecting him to be gone, but is there a scenario where he does come back? And if he does, how long can he be happy again, I guess, is really the question.
I think the only way he'd be back is if they stick to their guns and he comes back for the minimal number of games. So he does contract instead of making $10.5 million in 2022. He comes back and plays enough game to make $35 million when his new extension kicks in.
Yeah.
And how many, John, how many games is that?
I think it's four.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And I think it's six you have to play to get credit, accredited season, I think. But I could see him doing that. It'd be funny if they were on their way to the first pick in the draft and say there was a quarterback who had emerged next season like Joe Burrow, then he comes back helps them win a couple of games, knocks them out of the top pick, and costs them that quarterback.
Oh, my goodness.
Would be funny. Wow. That would be vengeance. You know, John, and I know BT needs to reset you, but real quickly, is there any thought that Caserio or Easterby might lose their jobs because of this?
No. Nick Caserio signed a six-year contract for $30 million with another $6 million in incentives. Jack Easterby, who is the executive VP of football operations, who's involved in everything. Caserio makes final say on personnel, just like Bill O'Brien did. They had in their contract. And so, but Easterby and Caserio are very close from their days at New England. And they have sold the owners, the McNair family, on the fact they know how to build a Super Bowl winner, and they can do it for here. But the problem is, to win multiple Super Bowls like they did, you got to have a quarterback. And they got one, and he's out of town. And people say, well, he signed that contract in good faith. Where's the loyalty? And I say, well, where was the loyalty to their center, Nick Martin, who signed a contract in good faith and got cut?
Yep.
Teams cut players under contract all the time. So Deshaun Watson wants to cut the Texans. And there's a lot of people in the NFL saying, don't do it. It'll be like the NBA where a few control the many. Don't let it be that way. And I said, the Texans need to do what's best for them.
Yep.
The NFL's not going to do what's best for the Texans, and I don't see any way around it. To me, you should come out and say, look, we don't want to trade him. They've done that. But when they trade him, say, look, we did everything we could. We have to move on. We don't want this situation to drag into next season. We're trying to turn around a program and just get a franchise quarterback and then try to sell him to the public. And maybe then people will buy tickets and suites and sponsorships the way they always have.
So that's John McClain from the Chronicle on the Sean Watson stuff. So, you know, John, one thing that I've always said, and I believe it, but I'm also, I don't know, 1,000 miles away, whatever it is, from the state of Texas. We always seem to insert, you know, he's a low maintenance superstar. He's easy lifting. He's talking about Deshaun Watson. Is there any stuff behind the scenes, like power plays before this, that we didn't know about that might change the narrative of I hope not, but how Watson's perceived? If anybody would know, you would know.
No, absolutely not. Okay. He is the best teammate. He's tough mentally, physically. He's a leader. Everybody liked the guy. He just decided he didn't want to be here anymore, and he thought he had the muscle, the flex to get out, and he's willing to play hardball. But every other situation I've seen is about money. Trent Williams wanted out of Washington. It wasn't about money. And he set out a season and then got traded to San Francisco and played well. Now, same situation here. It's not about money. If it's money, it can always be fixed. But that's why this one is unprecedented for a player his age at the state of he's at in his career, the stage where he is in his career.
Yeah.
And it would be a tremendous loss for this franchise and this city, but this city is getting used to it after losing James Harden and George Springer, among other superstars.
Yeah,
J.J. Watt.
You know, since you bring that up, the Nets are going, you know, John, before we let you go, the Nets are coming to town tonight. What's the reception going to be for Mr. Harden?
Well, if it was a full building, I think there would be a lot of booing, because when Harden left, He was a scorched earth exit, which he showed up late, out of shape, didn't play hard, didn't play well, then blasted the team. Then they traded him to the Nets, a deal they obviously had on the table. But the Rockets announced yesterday they're going to retire his jersey, so I think it won't be as negative as it would be. But the Rockets are so bad right now.
Yeah.
If the Rockets were playing well and people thought they had a chance to beat the Nets and they were going somewhere, there might be a little more venom. But right now, 12-game losing streak, I think the Rockets and the Texans have a chance to get the top pick in their drafts in the next two drafts.
All right, John, good stuff. Pulse of Houston, John McClain's got it. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. NFL writer for the Chronicle. Good stuff there. Let's get the update coming up. So, I mean, they've got the reigning MVP in Aaron Rodgers, but yet it seems like the Packers are hell-bent on getting their other quarterback that they moved up to get in the draft some snaps. When will those snaps actually come? We'll get into that after the update. That's Erica Herskowitz, Hersky right now. All right, March Madness right around the corner. This weekend, CBS has two full days of College Hoops triple headers. The action starts Saturday at noon. That's noon Eastern. Battle of the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. Then on Sunday, you got three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown. Iowa tackles Ohio State. That's two college hoops, tripleheader Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. Steaky and Tierney's on CBS as well. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network at least. All right. The Packers, you know, I really haven't given the Packers much thought in the last week or maybe 2 weeks or so. Outside of yesterday when we had Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the show, and we obviously talked Packers. But you know, before that, the Rodgers discontent kind of whittled away, like that dissipated and that vanished.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't much to hit on. Like they're picking in the top 10. They're not attached to anybody right now in terms of draft or really free agency. I mean, not that they won't get anybody, but there's no real prominent mentions. There's really nothing about the Packers that caught our eye until we hear their general manager say this about Jordan Love and trying to find this balance for next season. Listen to this, Teague.
It's very important for Jordan to get as many live reps, and that's not just him, but all young players, specifically quarterbacks. Prior to last year, I probably would have told you that wasn't going to concern me as much, but after going through a season without preseason games, I realized how valuable and how important that they are. With Jordan specifically, yeah, I think it was disappointing we weren't able to get him out there in the preseason this year. Looking forward to it this year, and the more the better.
So whether or not you think it was an overly ambitious move, scooting up to take him, whether you think it was just flat out the wrong move, that's up to you guys to decide. But I think what you can't dispute is that last year was a complete waste of time for Jordan Love's development.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, BT. And it's interesting listening to Brian Gunhurst's words there, because he's talking about Jordan Love almost at the exclusion of the fact that they had a quarterback who won the damn MVP.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you focused on? Right. At the end of the day, the team football is about having a successful team and, you know, putting the best players in positions to win. And Aaron Rodgers, your longtime starting quarterback, MVP of 2020's football season, that's what should be your focus. Mm-hmm. Why are you talking about Jordan Love? I get that you're asked a question, and he's obviously interesting to people, but he's a conversation for 2 years from now, at earliest, because Aaron Rodgers still has plenty left in the tank. Now, maybe, as we always say, he walks off the cliff and he's just a shell of who he previously was, but I got zero indication of that last season. He was healthy the entire year. He, you know, threw for 40-plus touchdowns and had less than a handful of interceptions. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still balling at a high level. Jordan Love should be the least of your concerns right now, or how many reps he's going to get. Now, if we're talking about the preseason, yeah, who cares? Do whatever. Give him, you know, three of the games in the preseason.
Well, there's only going to be three games.
Well, exactly. So give him two of the games, or two and a half of the games. Aaron Rodgers doesn't necessarily need it. But the focus for this Packers team should be, how are we winning a championship with the time that Aaron Rodgers has left in his career, and hopefully that career is with the Green Bay Packers. Forget Jordan Love. Develop him as a backup.
Yeah.
He doesn't need live reps in order to be, what his career is going to look like.
But he needs some reps. That's the point.
Oh,
he's got none so far.
Of course.
Zero.
But the way that he says that, it's almost, it sounds like...
At the expense of Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is lunacy.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that makes no sense. The only thing I would kick back on a little bit, and I know what you mean, but, you know, to me, nobody's 2 years away in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Nobody's 2 years away. Even when Kaepernick was thought to be, you know, and it was, we knew more. Well, we didn't know a ton about it. Came from Nevada, second-round pick. We didn't really know it. We knew he had a baseball bat. We didn't mm-hmm. know a ton about Colin Kaepernick. We knew he was a good athlete, good arm.
Yep.
And then Alex Smith got the concussion, self-reported it. Kaepernick came in, played, balled out a little bit. And then obviously Kaepernick kept the job, and then Alex Smith had to go elsewhere, and then we know the story with Kaepernick on the field and off. But I would say the only way this becomes like relevant pertaining to Jordan Love, as where there's even anything that's discussed, I agree, he's not going to fall off the wagon. He's not going to drop off the face of the earth athletically in a year, Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But say if he pulls a hamstring and he's out a month, right? And Jordan Love just seamlessly takes over the offense, might not quite fully replicate Rodgers' offensive production, but there's not a real discernible drop-off. I'm not saying that he keeps the job when Rodgers is healthy, but at least it would speed up the timeline. Like,
Do they trade Rodgers this offseason to a team? That would change. I'm not saying I would do it either, but that would change, I think, the tone of the conversation. Right now, Jordan Love is a complete non-entity.
Yeah.
Complete non-entity.
Jordan Love should
within 2 years, I would say within a year, that could change based on circumstances.
I think he needs to be treated like Aaron Rodgers was treated, to be honest with you. And when Aaron Rodgers was backing up Brett Favre in those however many years it was, 3 years, we need to get Aaron Rodgers reps. It was Aaron Rodgers needs to sit back and learn as much as he can from one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Jordan Love needs to do the same thing. And it's not necessarily about reps. It's more about process. It's more about the mental, preparation and that you put into, studying a defense and understanding, what's going to happen on a night in and night out basis on game days. That's invaluable information and something that, you can learn via experience, but it's easier if you learn it from a master, and he's got that in front of him. So I hear what he's saying. I hear what the Packers are thinking with Jordan Love, but I think their focus isn't on, what our future is and, what are we going to do with Jordan Love's, eventually new contract. It's how can we win a Super Bowl? If that's not what you're focused on, what the heck are you doing it for?
Yeah, I hear you, but I think that they can try to straddle the fence. I think they straddled the fence the night that they drafted him. I think you try to straddle the fence of the immediacy of the moment of cashing in on what remains of Aaron Rodgers' prime.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost, but also secondarily, but not too far behind in the rearview mirror is, we did move up and take this guy in the first round. And, whether we have to justify the selection, what if for our own sensibility, whatever.
There's no justifying the selection, though. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Unless Jordan Love turns out to be a superstar.
Yes, but you're not going to find that out in 2021.
Unless Aaron Rodgers pulls a hamstring or hurts his clavicle like he did a couple of years ago and misses 5 weeks. I mean, that's why the other thing about Rodgers, too, he's, his personality is such that unless the Packers win the Super Bowl next year, no matter how their season ends, whether it's the NFC Championship game, divisional wild card, short of that, which would be a disaster.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it will be a seamless exit off the stage into the offseason for Rodgers. This year coming up.
Yeah.
After the season, anything short of a championship. And because of that, I think it's going to make every single offseason, whether or not Jordan Love could play, we don't know. It's going to make every offseason a little less stable, at least at the first couple of weeks of it.
Mm.
I have that sense, think about how it ended this year.
Yeah, no,
and the guy won the MVP.
Yeah, I can see that. So if he's short of that and they come up short again.
That's what I'm saying.
It becomes, how often are we going to, we're going to keep beating our head against the wall the
Correct.
Same way?
Yep.
But the challenge is are you better off with Jordan Love? The answer is no.
Oh, I mean, you there's no way.
I mean,
Unless he is truly a star and he's getting peanuts on a rookie deal and you don't have to pay Aaron Rodgers $40 million a year.
But that's such a gamble because sometimes these young quarterbacks, even if they're really good, they don't have the leadership skills to take you deep into the postseason and compete for a championship. Well, Aaron Rodgers can do that. I mean, let's just face it. They got beat by a Bucs team that was really good, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that was Super Bowl. I mean, they were Super Bowl good. They went on and won the Super Bowl, a game later. So, Aaron Rodgers had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
And save for, five or six plays, he's got a chance to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And if Pat Mahomes is compromised, which we know he was, Aaron Rodgers could have won that game too. Mm-hmm. So, how often are you going to do that before you give up on Aaron Rodgers? I wouldn't give up on Aaron Rodgers until he can't do it anymore. That's just how I feel about it. And
me
I
too.
Know that the Jordan Love situation is dicey and it's, at some point you got to justify that draft pick, but
mm-hmm. or try to. I don't know that you ever fully can, but
yeah,
you got to try
agreed.
To.
But to me, you got to keep all your eggs on the Aaron Rodgers basket right now.
Yeah, but but there's two sides of that. It's that what the Packers omit, but it's also what Aaron Rodgers projects. And Aaron Rodgers is one more playoff ouster away from jumping on his Buddy McAfee show and just intimating whatever he intimates and us trying to deduce what it means.
Yeah.
That's why I think every year, even if he wins the MVP next year, I think every year is going to be, at least the early part of the offseason for the Packers, Teak, is going to be a little unsettling. Here's the main reason why. And he's still obviously great. Rodgers ain't getting younger, and Jordan Love ain't getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually there's going to be a convergence there where there's going to be noticeable and eventually, depending upon how long he stays, palpable erosion from Aaron Rodgers' skill set. Oh,
when do you think that's going to be, by the way?
Like palpable or slightly noticeable?
Just like slightly noticeable.
I think next year. Slightly.
Maybe.
Slightly.
Maybe.
Slightly.
Yeah. Look, he just won the MVP. I can't see that. Maybe when he's 40. I see. Because, look, I mean, until Drew Brees started getting banged up when he was also 40, right? Because 41 he was, because he's 43 now. His 41-year season, that's when Teddy Bridgewater played. His 42-year season, which was last year.
Yeah.
That's when Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston at the end of that one game played. So, like, when you hit 40, that's when your body generally is breaking down. Aaron Rodgers is still 2 years away from that. So, I mean, and he feels like he's in better physical shape than Drew Brees was. He's more elusive in the pocket, so to speak. I mean, this is going
to
be interesting.
Drew Brees was an Iron Man compared to Aaron Rodgers, been banged up almost every year.
Yeah, but it's because of his physicality that he gets banged up.
But that's part of his greatness. He's out of the pocket where he's not protected.
Not last year he wasn't.
Not last year for sure. No.
And he stayed healthy.
He stayed healthy.
He stayed clean.
Yeah.
Until obviously the NFC Championship game, but that was because they were compromised with their tackles.
Bakhtiari
was out for the season, so. You know, without him, we'll see what because he's getting up there in age as well.
He is.
Right.
He just got the extension before he got hurt.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did. There's like some mitigating circumstances around this Packers team right now.
No question. And listen, Teak, as much, you know, and this is, this will probably, I mean, it will be remembered by Packer fans and will remember it, but you know, we're giving you the whole macro snapshot. The micro snapshot is you had three cracks from the 8-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't score.
Yeah, I don't think that gets held against him for too long.
Well, no, but because that's what I'm saying. It will eventually, and it already has for most, dissipate into the ether as we move on to something else. But that doesn't mean, you know, watching that game, it wasn't confounding watching some of the play calls, some of the throws, and his indecision to run the football. I mean, I know he won the MVP and he's Aaron Rodgers and he's great.
Yeah.
But at that moment where he needed to do what Tom Brady almost always does, he didn't do it.
Yeah, but Tom Brady.
It's undeniable. He didn't do it.
I don't know if Tom Brady would have run that football either.
You know what, though? But Tom Brady would have connected on a couple of those passes.
It's true. Good point.
He would have.
Good point.
You know? All right. So Shaq got an education last night from Candace Parker. And we love Shaq. And Candace is great. I will say this. We'll get to this coming up next. Shaq is lucky that Candace likes him. Otherwise, it could have been worse. We'll get to that coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.